Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, what's up, people? This is Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode 240. We have our special guest tonight, Brian Harris. He's with us tonight. We're going to be talking about the 40th anniversary of the Hill. Oh, you're doing this. Wow, he's getting real technical on me. Anyway, of REO Speedwagon's High Infidelity. And but before we do that, Alan's pulling some new technical
tricks up his sleeve. He's got some tricks up his sleeve.
Let's get him up the
sleeve. Presto.
So anyway, so what's going on this? Anybody, anything this week going on? I know Bill is back. We're glad to see him back to Indiana. He's been in Florida.
Not happy about it.
Soaking up the rays and everything.
Freaking cold as shit up here.
I know.
Today is the 29th anniversary of the passing of Eric Carr and Freddie Mercury.
And it's my son's birthday, too, today.
Happy birthday, Max.
Happy birthday, Max.
Yep, he is 26. And,
Brian just shrugs his shoulders.
Yeah. Actually, I had Max when I was actually 29. So he was.
You had Max? That's a medical miracle.
No, I didn't have him, but my wife did. But anyway, yeah, I was late to have children, or we were late to have children.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because Laura was 32 when Ian was born.
Yeah, I told Kelly, I said, but I want to do it before 30. And so we squeaked it in.
Oh, you got it. You did it one time before 30, huh?
We got it in. We're done. We're done.
Yeah, at least you got it in there, man.
But anyway, Max was a Thanksgiving baby. So it was kind of interesting. We did spend Thanksgiving. This would be the second time that I haven't spent Thanksgiving with my family. And the first time was with Max. You know, like I said, Kelly was in the hospital because Max was born about 1:30, 1:40 the night before Thanksgiving. And so we spent Thanksgiving in the hospital.
You should have just went home. Why didn't you go home and have Thanksgiving with your family? I mean, it was all done. I mean, she didn't need you now.
Okay. Hey, okay. I know a guy that the day his son was born, he went deer hunting. So,
yeah, well, those guys usually don't live very long.
they lose half their shit, and exactly.
Your shit is in the yard on fire,
and you're going to pay child support for the next 18 years.
So, anyway. Talking about Eric Carr, though, I pulled out my that at all because it's like in that plastic shit. So, pulled out my Eric Carr Rockology record. So they re-released this record. On some special colored vinyl and all that kind of other goobly goop stuff. And this is a really good record. I really enjoyed it. So it's good stuff.
I did about a 25 minute radio tribute to Eric this morning. I played two songs off of Rockology. His one song off of Hot in the Shade, I got it wrong because I said it was the only song they let him record vocals on because I forgot all about him doing Beth on Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits. So, of course, somebody pointed it out.
There you go.
Of course.
Yeah. I did listen to part of that this morning. Where was the where was the live song that he did that was Gene's song? And I can't
that,
for the
That moment. Was... Actually, that was off of the Animalize Live Uncensored DVD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, I couldn't figure out where it was from. Both of those songs came from the same show. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember where. I couldn't figure out where it was from. I kept looking around. I'm like, I can't figure out where this is from. So, I should have known.
Now you know.
Cool. Now I know. Anyway,
and like I said, that was. I wonder. We need to look into that to see how many. I know this has happened not just with rock stars, but with film stars and stuff too. You know, somebody had passed and then somebody else passed that was a lot more famous than what
I learned earlier today, and I didn't know it. I guess Groucho Marx died on the same day that Elvis Presley died.
Really?
Huh.
That's what I saw on the internet, so it must be true.
Oh, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true.
Facts. So who got all the who got all the paper on the, in the newspaper? He was like in the very back.
I didn't even know Groucho Marx was dead. So there you go. I thought he was still alive. So I didn't even know.
Right, he'd be like 150. I know. John Lennon, Razzle, and well, there were it's different years, but they all died on the same date.
Okay.
Who was it? Farrah Fawcett. What day did? Who died when Farrah Fawcett died?
There wasn't. You're right, Brian. There was somebody died.
Was it Michael Jackson?
Yes, I think you're right.
That's some pretty. That's some pretty good retention right there, Brian. I'm impressed.
Yeah, no, you're me too.
I think you're right because I think you're right because I think I heard that day that Farrah had passed away, and then we were on our way over to the Moonlight to eat dinner that night, and they come on the radio and said that Michael Jackson was maybe there was. You know, word that he had maybe passed away, and then they confirmed it. Yeah, she got just swept under the rug completely. Yeah. So yeah, that happened.
Farrah Fawcett on my ceiling in my bedroom. I did not have my.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, the worst. Honestly, I mean, in my opinion, the worst part about that, and I had a conversation with a friend about that earlier today, was because I had made the comment that it was the anniversary of Eric's passing, and immediately Freddie Mercury got brought up. I'm like, I get it, but today is, I mean, my
Kiss
comment,
fan today.
My comment is about Eric, you know, because that's right. I am a Kiss fan, you know, and I didn't know Eric was sick when he died. I was completely flabbergasted, you know, so, yeah, I get it. So I feel bad for Groucho and I feel bad for Farrah and all of their families, you know.
It's just kind of fun. I'm not funny, but it's just kind of interesting to see
strange
things like that happen.
Ain't it strange?
So, and then of course, then we got to hear about this week that there is going to be a New Year's Eve Dubai concert for Kiss is going to be putting that on. It's going to be a pay-per-view. I think it's $39. I think is the cheapest one you can go, and you can go up to what $1,000 or whatever.
So what I want to know about that is, do they have somebody sitting in the back of the arena with a cell phone camera, and that's your.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you guys going to buy it?
I am.
No.
Well, the thing is, you're going to get
doubt
the
it.
Same.
It'll be on YouTube within 24 hours.
My whole point was, and I put it on a couple people's pages, and I got a couple chuckles out of it. But you know, the fact of that they're calling it, you know, it's going to be Kiss live, you know, online live, and I'm like going, but he's lip syncing, so is that considered live?
Yeah, well,
record, you speculate that he's going to lip sync.
Boy, I would.
I'm just busting your chain, man.
If this was Vegas, I would bet those odds. You know what I'm saying? I'm winning.
Yeah, I've had a rough year, and I had no clue what I was going to do on New Year's Eve, so now I have something to look forward to.
But it's at what?
I would have got it.
I had another friend tell me the exact same thing, Brian, and I get it, man.
Yeah, I don't think – I would have – I'm not – I haven't not got it yet. I mean, I haven't – you know, I've not gotten it yet. That doesn't mean I won't get it closer because they can't put a cap on it. It's – I mean, they could sell $40 forever. Yeah. But if it had been at midnight, it would have meant – or it would if it would have ended at midnight here in the States, I would have – been more prone to jump quicker. But you know, if it's New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, I don't have anything to do about noon. I'm might just drop $40 on it, but I don't know. Anybody wants to buy it, you know, good luck to you. I wish there was some other enticement with it. Like we're going to change the set list. We're going to change the set list. Say, we're going to change 10 songs in the set list. They got plenty of time to rehearse that.
Oh, I'd be buying it like right now.
But then you would then people would be buying
songs.
It. Right. I mean, I wish there was some other thing. I mean, I get it, but I do wish there was some other
enticement
there.
Talk is they're doing 2 hours, so people are speculating they may pull out some deep cuts. And then also a lot of people are like for us record collectors, a lot of people are putting out the money, you know, the $1,000 one, because like there's an LP and all that, and they want that LP, and you know, other people are like, that LP is not going to be worth $1,000, you know, it's just not, but.
Let me ask you this though. If they add to that 2 hour, you know, make it 2 hours or whatever, and they add some songs, Vegas odds says that the new songs are going to be all Gene songs. What do you think?
Yeah. I would be happy for that.
I would be good for it, but I'm saying they have Paul's show done. If they're going to add some songs, they're going to add some Gene songs, and that's good for me.
I don't have a problem. Add Eric singing a couple songs.
Yeah,
I love Eric singing.
Into the Void. I liked Into the Void.
Yeah. I mean, I want Eric to sing Strange Ways.
Yeah, but you could do some other stuff. I mean, yeah. I think that would draw more people to buying it than just.
But they're going to leave that a surprise. You're going to have to buy it to find that out.
But there will not be another Paul Stanley song that's different from the concert that we've seen on the farewell tour. Not going to happen.
Unless they pull it from the Las Vegas Live.
That's true. Tapes,
which is what they did for the others, I heard.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Interesting.
Oh, well.
All right. Man,
we got lots of shows between now and then.
Here's what would be interesting, though. If they would take that, and instead of doing it live for us, why don't they put it out at midnight and then use that time in between when they do it there to really finesse it and production it, you know what I'm saying? And put it out. You know, the States gets it at where you're at midnight. I know, Bill, you said you probably wouldn't watch it at that point because you.
Oh, I said I would buy it if it was here and it ended at midnight or the encore was at midnight.
Right.
Had a couple more songs left. That would be more enticing than.
Well, that's what they should do though for us.
Yeah. But they can't do that if they're going to be in Dubai and be live and you want to watch it live. You got to be somewhere.
Right.
So I was wondering why they were doing it at Dubai, but it's my understanding they're trying to break a world record with pyro.
Yeah.
I guess if you do it out in the middle of the desert, you're not going to burn a forest down.
That could
maybe,
be.
Maybe. Interesting.
That was the speculation I heard. I mean, I love Kiss, but I don't – this show does not excite me enough that I'm going to go out and look for information about it. You know, I saw the basics. I saw what the different levels of VIP packages and all of that stuff is, and no thanks.
I was you know, there was a lot of speculation on what the big thing was going to be, and I was let down. It's like,
what did you think it was going to be? I mean, what would not have been a letdown?
Just some more releases of some of the
same older rehashing albums of the same stuff they've been putting out.
I mean, yeah, kind of.
How is that more exciting than?
Well, you're going to see a concert with the same set list you've seen for the last 10 years. Everything is a rehash. So it is. It's, you know, I'd rather get me a really nice copy of Alive 2 that brand new with some splatter than I would, you know, that, you know, it had to be.
Do you look at your records when they play?
Sometimes.
Liar.
How do you think he sees the track list?
I got the new AC/DC record on my turntable and it's that yellow and it's really cool looking.
Yellow.
It's
mine's like red.
Well, I got mine from AC/DC. You got yours from Walmart.
Yeah, I got both.
Yeah. So it's really cool looking. And, but
yeah, mine's
once it goes in the sleeve, it's black because it's going to be dark in the sleeve.
I know.
I don't sit around and look at it when it's going around going, oh, look. Swirly.
Now that one I have is a glow in the dark, so I could look at it when it goes around because it's because turn
only if you turn all the lights off.
Yeah. So anyway,
maybe we get some shit. But Brian, have a good time, man. You know what? We should all just come to your house and then we could just all watch it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said that they thought Gene was just gonna tape it on his phone and put it out.
Brian said we have to quarantine for 14 days before we come.
Oh no.
That's right.
Oh, talking about that. So I have not heard anything about the Jeremy, Phil, and Ryan show for next Friday. So I don't know if that's actually happening or not. So I've not called up there. Has anybody called up there or contacted them or anything?
No, but Indiana, basically, I know that all the shit around here has been canceled. They even did all the night.
They closed all the bars. Thanksgiving shows have been canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, so it ain't going to happen. I'm just telling you.
I'd be surprised. It's not gonna happen. But
I've got to go to Indy sometime in the next week or so to get something. Going to give me one of those Kallax things from IKEA. They got them in stock now, so I got to make a run. I'm going to make a 6-hour trip to go get it. But the thing is, a $75 shelf, and they want $150 to ship it. And I'm like, going, no. I'm going to do that.
Buy two shelves. Maybe they'll still only charge $125. You still win.
Yeah.
And sell the other
one. Real quick to the new Foo Fighters song, Shame, Shame. I was going to work again this morning, and it came on, and I'm going, I'm going to give it another shot. Cranked it up on my radio, and I listened to the whole thing, but it was the most painful thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm really hating that song, and I am such a Foo Fighter fan, and I'm just, that is not the song to release. I hope the rest of the album's better, because if not, I'm having a hard time with it.
Anyway, so this is going to be the Foo Fighters version of The Elder.
I don't
know. Hey, I like The Elder. I love The Elder.
I do too. So
I'm not a lot, but we just got to get a dig in at Bill at least once a show.
Don't stink up but don't stink up The Elder with a really bad song. <That's what>
I do like that the whole time Bill is sitting here talking, he doesn't realize he's muted.
No.
No, because I was sneezing.
Oh,
that's okay. You didn't get me hearing me bitching. Best thing that happened to anybody else was pictures of the night.
Anybody else got any other news or anything they want to bring up this week?
Nah. Oh, I finished Rob Halford's book. If anybody wants to read it,
is it good?
Loan it to you. Great book. I really have a great deal of respect for him. It was really interesting listening to him talk about actually being gay in a metal band and what he worried about, how it was going to affect the band and how he was trying to live his life. And it was, man, you know, those people go through some pretty jacked up shit. So, it was really cool. I mean, it is really good. I do have a great deal of respect for him. So, and I follow him on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. He posts stuff all the time, and it's kind of funny watching him post stuff. It's like, funny stuff. After you read the book, it's like, hey, that's just a dude. You know, it's pretty cool.
I remember when I was younger and you know, all that came out and stuff, and me and my friends were like, hey, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, you know, it's kind of funny. Nobody really cares. I haven't heard anybody say anything. For one thing.
I have only heard one person in my entire life that was surprised by that announcement.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the thing is, I don't know how we were all surprised anyway, because if you go back and watch all the old videos, live videos, it's like going, that dude, or even, man, he is gay.
Watch,
he's major gay.
watch the official video for Heading Out to the Highway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing that little dance. I'm like going, oh, that's pretty good dancing for a straight white guy.
You know? Maybe.
No.
Anyway, it's a good book. I did, just so you guys know, I did reach out to their publisher and actually got a response back that Rob's calendar is full.
Yeah.
But I did reach out and actually got a response back.
That's good.
I was like, oh, we got a response. I was just happy.
He's been on a few podcasts. I've watched two.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he's out there, you know.
Yeah. So it's good stuff. If you get a chance to read it, you got to read it.
All righty. So
let's rock and roll, man.
Real quick too. Alice Cooper released a new single off his new album. Was it Chicago Stories, I believe is the name of it? Detroit Stories.
Yeah, I have that for you.
I didn't like the song. I'm sorry.
You're the hater tonight. You're a hater.
Well, no, it didn't. I was like, oh, Rob was over. I'm like, hey, let's new Alice Cooper song. Let's listen to it. You okay? Need a Heimlich?
A Heimlich?
He's got an ice cube.
I was going to say that, Brian.
Lisa, get in here. Quick. Oh, stat.
No. It'll melt in a little bit.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
And for those of y'all who are not watching the video, Bill is choking to death on his own spit.
Bill, you need to stop.
Literally, it was my own spit.
You need to stop making those drinks so strong. That's what your problem is.
I'm just drinking Diet Mountain Dew, man.
Yeah, quit.
May I just drink out of this cup then?
Yeah. All right, you guys ready?
Yes.
We've been all ready. Right.
So anyway, we're going to talk tonight about REO Speedwagon's High Infidelity. It was a nice studio album by the man.
I thought we were talking about Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
Oreos.
I told Oreos. Laura before
Double we stuffs.
Came back here to record, I said, I wish I'd have thought about it when I was at the store. I'd have got a bag of Oreos, and then as soon as there we started recording, I just started shoving them in my mouth.
All right. It was a nice studio release by the band, released November 21st. So we're right in that general area of 1980. The album became a big hit in the United States, peaking at number one on the Billboard 200. It went on to becoming the biggest selling rock album of 1981, eventually being certified 10 times platinum. Of the four singles released, Take It on the Run went to number five on the Billboard Hot 100, and the band got their first of two number one hits with Keep on Loving You. And like I said, this album here, there was four singles from it. It was Keep on Loving You, Take It on the Run, Don't Let Him Go, and In Your Letter. And I'm telling you, this record for me, I mean, you know, I'm a big REO Speedwagon fan. I've seen him a gajillion times. And this album is kind of the soundtrack to my high school years. And it's one of those things when you go to the concerts or when you put it on, you know every word, every fucking, you know, every word of the thing, and you sing along. You know, it's a sing along. To me, it's a sing along album. So anyway, that's just my little thoughts on it. Brian, any thoughts on this album, real quick?
Yeah.
General.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great album. To me, aside from the four hits off of it, it's got a very, kind of reminds me of like a 60s, it's got a 60s sound, 60s feel to the album, a lot of those other songs. So, but yeah, I love it.
Right. I think too, like I said, it has that thing. Plus it's got some of the older ones were, you know, 10 years prior to this, back sounds of that. Bill's still choking on this shit. So, Alan.
No, Bill's not choking. We were busy laughing at you because your picture froze up.
Those eyes. Oh, did it?
It looked like you were high.
Yeah.
Not like that.
Gotcha.
Oh, he really froze up like that.
All right, gotcha.
You need to get a little closer to your Wi-Fi or something.
I'm about as close as I get, dude. I've got full Wi-Fi right now, so.
Anyway. Every time he gets close to his Wi-Fi, she leaves.
Yeah. No.
Honestly, for this album, today was the first day in my entire life that I've ever listened to it from beginning to end.
Wow.
Wow.
That ain't right, man.
Yes, I know. Wow.
Wow.
That is a wow. And, you know, after listening to it today, I realized I missed out on a pretty good album. Yeah, but you know, I agree with the very 60s feel to it. Even the song "In Your Letter," I mean,
yeah, absolutely,
definitely.
That one is definitely straight out of.
It almost sounds like a remake.
That's what I thought it was at first.
I actually did that too. I looked back to see who wrote it, and it was actually them. And I'm like, going, "Wow, shit! It sounds like a remake because you can actually, you know, it's just so weird. I don't know.
Sounds like something one of them girl groups would have done."
Exactly, Bill.
Great record, front to back, you know, flip it, whatever. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I started listening to it Friday. No, after we got back, so it must have been Saturday. And by myself, and I think I knew 90% of the words, and I haven't listened to the record in I don't know how many years, because I think I listened to it, to your point, like 437,000 times. So I can tell you that this is Lisa, one of Lisa's. When I came home tonight, I said, "Hey, we're doing a record review tonight. You want to guess what it is?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know." And I said, "Oh, we're doing High Infidelity." She goes, "Oh my gosh. I mean, this is one of her favorite bands." And actually, this is a band that she has seen more times than I have. Wow. I think she's got me beat by one on this one. I was up here whenever she saw them down in Evansville. But again, just a great record all the way through. And it has a lot of different, it does definitely feels like something it that's travels. Retro. Right. But it's good stuff. And when we saw them two summers ago or whatever, I think it was, they opened the show with In Your Letter, which was really cool because I hadn't heard that in, I don't know how long. I was like, wow, that's a pretty good opener. I didn't really think it would be, right. but it was.
Yeah, it's this album here too, and that's one thing I like about it. You know, being that, you know, when I was in high school, of course, you know, I was into Van Halen and I was into this and that and some, you know, starting to get into Maiden and stuff like that. But REO Speedwagon, the chicks love it too.
Well, they were still, you know, cool. And they, you know,
they,
it was
and
still
they were cool. That's what I'm saying. I liked it, and the chicks liked it. So that's what I'm saying. Our wives like this stuff. And the thing is, and, you know, probably some people made out with about half these songs on this album.
yes, we did. And that, then if you, that and actually the you, one after yeah, that.
The 80s movies. And, yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of the 80s movies, you know, they use, you know,
Last American Virgin,
you know, and
great,
you know,
movie,
Last American
exactly.
Virgin.
Exactly.
Yep. How many times you've seen
who
that?
Who doesn't know? 50 times. Heard it from a friend. Yeah.
Oh my Alan's God. Alan's got to catch up. He hasn't listened to this record yet, and he hasn't seen Last American Virgin.
That is my favorite. That is my favorite 80s movie, and you want to cry at the end.
Yes, that dude got it so screwed over.
He got.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I actually I saw an interview here recently with that girl who played that part. She just did it, and I was like, I'd like to have her on and go, you know what? At that time, I hated you. You were a whore. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, but what a great album! And like I said, let's get into the track listing. So. Let's start out with number one. Don't let him go. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Don't let him go. Yeah, that's what it's
I
called.
Thought it was Don't Let It Go. Sorry.
What?
I've been singing the wrong words for
don't let
30,
it go.
40 years.
I'm not done yet. Don't let it go.
that's not even Bohemian Rhapsody. You should get this one right. It's like,
no, I think so. But anyway, what a great opener though, and I like the way that the song opens. And the thing is, if you go back to REO's previous albums, the last couple previous albums, they were very, I mean, they were, don't get me wrong, the production was good, but they sound kind of flat. They're kind of just kind of there. You know, this starts out with that airy kind of dump, and it's like going, oh my God, it gives you a little bit of a chill.
Gives you a little
I'll give you credit. Your mouth drums are a whole lot better than your mouth guitars.
But yeah, that's a great way to start that. And that song too, you know, you've got Gary Richrath, you know, he's just tearing the guitar up. You got Neil Dowdy, the keyboard work he's doing. That first song is, I mean, they're showboating everybody. And it's what a great song to start out with. So, like you said, Bill, you know, a million times, these openers are key.
Yep.
All right. Brian.
No, I agree with everything you said. Revisiting it yesterday, it's been a while since I've listened to it, but, you know, it's right in the middle of them, like, what a great way to start a concert, even not just the album. I mean, you can see them coming out and doing that, you know, like you said, those drums and stuff to start kicking it in. It's a great song. It could maybe be my second favorite song on the whole album.
Good deal, Alan.
Well, I really don't have anything to add other than what's already been said, you know. And you've already done the mouth drum solo, so I'm going to have to skip on
that. Took that away.
But, you know, your point earlier that some of their earlier albums were a little bit flatter. Do you think that maybe I don't know who produced their other albums. I don't know who produced this one. Do you think maybe they went with different production to go to a more pop-oriented style to maybe draw a bigger audience? Because weren't they more hard rock, harder rocking band prior to this album?
Yeah, the old was definitely a little more rock than this record was. This was definitely more pop stuff. But
more pop.
Yeah, Kevin Beamish was the producer and engineer on this record.
And also, they said Kevin Cronin and Gary Richrath and Alan Krasner too, on top of Kevin Beamish. You know, and Kevin was also the engineer on this album. So, you know, who knows? I think this is one of those things where they just finally got. I mean, I don't know how many albums there were before this. I mean, there was quite a few.
Seven or eight, I think. Yeah. There were quite a few.
Well, it was just a seventh album, next or ninth or whatever it was. I have to look here. I'll tell you real quick. So this was their ninth studio album.
Ninth. Yeah, because there was a greatest hits record right before this one.
So, I mean, they just finally hit it. I mean, it's just one of those things that just kind of got some great songs and, you know, bam, 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 and knocked it out, you know, got a lot of hits off of, you know, because most of the records, if you look back, each album's got like one really good song on it. The album previously had On the Road Again, which is a great song. And, but like I said, they just never had a multi-hit album until this one. So, but anyway. All right, Bill, you gonna say anything?
Great opener.
All right.
The beginning of the record, it just sets the tone for the rest of it. Build up and, yeah, good stuff.
All right, so we're going to go backwards so everybody gets a little bit of chance to go on things. So Keep on Loving You. Bill, let you get first chance at this one.
Oh, what a ballad. I mean, 1980.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a ballad of all ballads. There's like, I'm pretty sure in 1980 that pretty much set the tone for every other pop rock ballad in the country. there may have been others before that, I don't know, but that really was one that, man, that was a staple, I think, in the turnstile. If you were a DJ back then, you played that record about a shit ton of times.
Exactly. Alan,
you're on the air with Big Al. We're gonna play Keep on Loving You. My request. Yeah, I bet the DJs did get bombarded with phone calls.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, great song. What Bill said.
I mean, it's just hard to talk about too much of this stuff. It's not.
And this thing has been used on, I mean, how many commercials, movies? I wonder how many movies this thing has been. I know it's been on a ton of movies. This song has probably made them, it's been like one of those gold mines.
Yeah, Thanks to this song, we never have to work again.
Well, I mean, what was it? He said originally this album went certified 10 times platinum. I mean, that's a buttload of records. Brian.
I don't have much to add. It's the problem with a bunch of guys that kind of have the same tastes and stuff is, it's hard to add a lot to, you know, when we're going over it, because sure enough, someone before you is going to add to it. But yeah, it's just a great song. It's one of the best ballads of all time. Period.
Yeah, this is one of the only songs I know on keyboards. So, and it's like, you know, and I think
didn't Fifth Degree Burn do this when we were at Crickets a couple of years ago?
Because we don't have a keyboard.
And why did we not get a key? And why did we not get a keyboard solo for this song?
I did play the song out live one time with Rodney and our band, Nothing Less, at a class reunion, and it went over really good. So use a little Casio. All right. Next song, Follow My Heart. Brian, you're up first.
Pass. I can't really remember a lot about this song right now. All right. Lame, I didn't do enough homework.
That's okay. Alan.
Somebody just drove past Brian's house, I believe.
Yes.
Now, this is a song I don't recall ever having heard, but, you know, I was listening to it on the way home from work today, and I thought it was a pretty good song. And I think he says the word shit in this song, maybe. I know one of the songs on this album, he said the word shit in, which kept it out of the top 40. That's on the Wikipedia page.
So you're saying I would never have a song on the top 40?
Probably not.
It was the pirate radio. Anyway,
you couldn't even make the top 1,000.
Yeah, for you would be the butt pirate radio.
Yeah.
Exactly. Porno radio. Oh, sorry. Let's see. Follow my heart.
Don't take another drink. You'll choke on it.
Yeah, I know. Probably will. This is hard for me because I like every single song on this record. So, yeah, it's right. A good song. And I think it follows, Keep on Loving You pretty good. I mean, it kind of gets the momentum going again. It's not like some albums, I think, where you have a ballad and then you just come back and you get punched in the face with something a little bit, really pretty heavy.
Sure.
And this record really doesn't have any of that really super heavy stuff on it at all. So it was a good segue back to more, I don't know, rock hits than just, being, ballads. So.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with everybody. Once again, that's why I'm going to go last. Same deal. Thing was, it was one of those things where I was like going, Follow My Heart. I don't remember that song. And as soon as it came on, I knew every word to it. It's like, okay, I know this song. You know, and it is, it's, and like I said, it brings you back out of Keep on Loving You. And then we're going to go to the next song, which is In Your Letter. This was a Rich Rath song. I was surprised. I figured this sounds like a Kevin Cronin song. And I don't know why I would think that. But like I said, we talked about this a little bit earlier as far as, it does sound like an old remake. I'm looking for whoever, wrote it. And of course, it's Rich Rath. And Lisa's looking at you too. What's Lisa think? No, she's not. Okay. Anyway, but In Your Letter, it's different for this album, but it fits. And I like it. It just kind of breaks up the monotony of the album. So we're going to go this way. We're going to go Alan.
When I heard the song, I, like everyone else, I thought it sounded like a remake. And I honestly thought that it was maybe a Ronnie Spector production. Or not Ronnie Spector, Phil Spector. Ronnie Spector was the Eddie Money song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that is a great 60s pop song, even though it came out in the 80s.
Right. Oh, it is. Okay, Brian. Hey,
he's muted.
You're muted.
Still muted.
There, I'm not mutated anymore. All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great 60s pop song. That's just, that's one of my favorites off the album. Of course, it's a single, but yeah, that's just great pop song. Right. 60s pop song.
Yeah, definitely retro.
Yeah, Bill, same.
Yeah, definitely retro.
Yeah. I think that if somebody else would have made this song, it wouldn't have fit so well. You know what I'm saying? Because the REO is kind of has a – they're not set in stone. They can do just about anything. They do ballads. They can do this. They can do something that sounds old. They can do some – you know what I'm saying? So this to them wasn't too far off to the right or left to where people were like going, oh my gosh, they're doing like a retro song. It just fit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they make it fit. So anyway, all right. So number five, the last song on side one, my gosh, way to end this album or this side of the album. Another Rich Rath out or song, little Take It on the Run. Because you know what? You heard it from a friend. You heard it from a friend from another friend. Bill's trying to sing along.
Who heard it from a friend?
Yeah. Heard it from another. Man, you're hearing some shit from way down the line. So anyway.
So basically, this is a rewrite of Heard It Through the Grapevine.
No kidding. But this song, again, is another one of these songs that's been used, and lately a lot. They just used it on Ozark. that was a song that they played whenever they did their
really
they did it.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, Ozark. They actually
they had REO Speedwagon on the show.
Yeah, They played at the casino. Oh,
that's right. They yeah.
And they I played all that about song. That. Remember they laundered some money for
him. Yeah, yeah. they asked the band guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, well, how much do you want to do? Hey, he wants to launder some money. How much do you want to do? So anyway, that was kind of cool.
Yep.
But anyway, all right. So we're gonna go Bill first. Take it on the run.
Another good, I mean, a good song. More getting a little bit more back to the ballad part for me. That was a little ballady. But good song. I like that. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you I like them all. So right. There you go. I'll just quit saying that.
Okay. Alan.
My second all-time favorite REO Speedwagon song. I like it so much. Chuck and I used to do it in our acoustic band.
There you go. Ryan.
One of the things REO always does well is that love song and that kind of breakup, get back together kind of song, and this is definitely one of those.
Awesome. Yeah, to me, and it's kind of funny because you go to In Your Letter, kind of gets back, like I said, with that 60 kind of range. Take It on the Run has that big sound like Don't Let Him Go has at the very beginning of the album. The production wise, it ends with that same kind of production. This is a big song. It's got a big, thick sound, big guitars, big booming drums, and the bass lines. Really, you know, what a way to end the inside one. All right, so we're gonna flip this dude over, and we're gonna get in some tough guys. Kevin Cronin song. All right, Brian, you wanna go first? You're muted.
Yep. This could be my number one favorite song on the album. I just love this song. Just the
cool,
the words and everything. To me, it should have been a single. I think it would have been good. I just love it.
Was Tough Guys on a single?
Yeah, it was a single.
Yeah, yeah. Tough
Guys. Yeah. Oh, that is one of the ones. That's right.
No, Tough Guys was one of the two songs from the album that charted on Billboard besides not being released as a single.
That's the one that has the word shit in it.
Yeah.
So keep on letting, so let's see, from the six songs charted on that Billboard charts, it doesn't give me the singles here, what they were. Huh. Yeah, here it says here, Tough Guys suggested that a line, they think they're full of fire, she thinks they're full of shit, yeah, would have prevented the song from being a top 40.
It actually, well, it went to 25.
Okay.
That's where it ended up. Anyway. It's 25.
Yeah, I like this song. And it's a good live song too. I've heard him, like I said, yeah, I've heard him play this a million times live. And
yeah, Kevin kind of gets that little attitude.
Got a little attitude. Yeah. Yeah. A tough guy attitude.
Yeah.
as much as a guy, it looks like Estelle Getty with a real high voice. Alan knows what I'm talking about.
I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it.
that's nothing against him. I love Kevin Cronin. I've actually been trying to get him on the show. Actually, sorry, Brian, but I was trying to get another guest for this album, and actually it was Neil Dowdy, because I know his cousin. Neil Dowdy's parents are from Newburgh. And Jeff, I talked to him, and he sent him an email, and I can't get him to do nothing. Yeah. And he was like, because I've been trying to get Neil on for years since we've been having this show, and I just can't get. Neil doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Yeah. I wouldn't have minded. Prepared. No, that's all right.
Actually, I did
see this week. Wait, we did that song?
Well, no, actually, I did see this week where him and Kevin were on some show talking about this album. So he has, but for a long time, he didn't do a lot of interviews and stuff. Neil's had some issues and stuff like that, and he's not very out in public. You know, he was kind of just sits behind the keyboard. anyway, no, I met the guy. He's a nice guy. All right. Tough guys. Bill, you talked about it yet?
I don't think I have. Great opener for the second side.
Right.
I thought it really kind of kicked it off kind of where the other side left off, so you didn't have much of a gap when you flipped the record over. So I thought that was good.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Kane keeps the thing going.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to go the next
I just want to talk about this song.
We'll let you know when it's your turn to talk, buddy.
I thought – I've been mixing it up, and I
– yeah, don't mix it up because you get confused when you mix it up.
We started talking about Estelle.
I knew it was
going to
happen. I was just waiting for it.
We talked about Estelle Getty, and that's when you were talking, and I thought that was your turn. Sorry. Go ahead.
In the famous words of Bill Elam, I thought this song was a banger.
a banger.
No, I really like this song. I agree. It's a good opener for side two.
Yeah, it's a very catchy tune, and it's very REO esque. You know, it's just one of their typical trademark type songs. Everybody sings along with it, and everything's super good. So the rest of this album is kind of interesting because, we went through this first side with was heavy hitters on a lot of hits and everything, and then all of a sudden you got the next four songs that really didn't chart. They didn't get played on the radio. So they kind of leave you where you are. And I had to actually kind of revisit. I'm not that I didn't listen to this album enough, when I was in high school, but I had to kind of like, I can't really. So anyway, Out of Seasons, it's a Cronin song. Let's see, where are you going to go? Let's just go around the ring. Alan.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I listened to this album, I liked all of the songs, but there was one song that if it got left off of the album, I wouldn't care.
Okay. And we haven't got there yet,
We haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, it's track number 10.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. Brian, Out of Season.
That's another one of those. It's a great 60s style rocking tune.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, like I agree with what you said, a couple of minutes ago. The rest of the album just kind of is there. There's, no big standouts or anything, really.
Yeah, I agree too. Bill?
Same. I mean, there's not.
Yeah.
I said I like every song on the record. This is probably not my favorite, not my most favorite song on the record for sure. Not my least favorite either. But it probably is my least favorite. That'd probably be my least favorite.
Okay. And I think I'm going to have to kind of agree with you, Bill, to be honest. Because out of the next three, I don't like Out of a Season as much as I like the rest of these. So I agree with you. It's probably my least favorite on the album. Now, is it terrible? No.
No, it's not a bad song. It's
my least favorite. If I had to pick.
In competition with the other ones. So
okay.
Except for Alan. Alan likes this song better than the number 10 song.
He doesn't like number 10.
I didn't like number 10. I just said I liked that one.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's not the same thing. Because we've gotten to the records before we reviewed them, and number 10 is a shitter. I mean, all the way around.
Right. All right. So next one is Shaking It Loose. It was a Gary Richrath song. We're going to go, Brian, go again.
That's probably the biggest rocker on the album, I think.
It's a banger.
Yeah, it's a banger.
It's a banger.
It's a banger.
Is that the new thing? It's the Bill Elam banger?
Elam banger. Oh, that's a hashtag right there.
There you go, the Bill Elam. We have to start using that.
It's a banger.
Now, what's funny is I'm going to send a message right after this with just that hashtag and nothing else. And not myself.
See what happens. That's funny.
A beb. Bill Elam banger.
Put it in our Facebook message group.
That's a great idea.
Just leave it.
Yeah, do that. All right, Alan, go ahead while you're commenting.
One thing that I noticed on several of these songs on side two was they all seem a little bit angry.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're kind of like breakup songs.
Yeah.
So, but you know, sometimes I like them angry songs because they get your blood pumping.
You know, a couple songs ago, you heard it from a friend, you heard it from another friend. That bitch was messing around, so you're pissed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you found out because it was in the letter.
Yeah. And then you're a tough guy. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. But don't let it go.
But yeah.
All right, Bill. Shaking it loose.
Great song. This is probably, for me, this is probably the best song on the second side for sure. Well, no. It's not. It's the second best song. But it's definitely a Rich Rath song for sure. I mean, it's just got that driving beat. It's not a Cronin song. It's not as syrupy, I guess is the right word, as some of the other Cronin stuff, but a great song. Yep.
Yeah. I agree with you guys too. I really don't have nothing to add. Like I said, it's a good Rich Rath song. Good midpoint in the album, like I said, because the second side is a little weak because the songs weren't hits. They're not weak, but these songs just weren't hits, so you're not going to be more familiar. And a lot of people would play that first side, hit Tough Guys, and then probably take it off. But you need to leave it on because there's some great songs. All right, so Someone Tonight, this is a Bruce Hall song. This is, and he sang it, and it's a little different.
My question about Bruce is he like Peter Criss and throws a fit if he doesn't get to sing a song on the record?
I don't know, but Bruce has played some good shit. I mean,
I don't know. I tell you, last time when we saw him a couple of summers ago, Bruce Hall did a song.
Back on the Road Again?
Freaking horrible.
Oh, was it?
Oh, my God. It was
really horrible. It was good. The last time I seen him do it, he did a really good job at it.
No, it was – that's pee break time. I would do a guitar solo.
Really?
Three guitar solos. It was bad.
Hey, Bruce, you want to come on the show?
He doesn't have the pipes anymore.
I just seen him here like 2 years ago. And
that's when I saw him, and it was not good.
All right. Well, maybe he just
had not a bad song, but it's just not – it wasn't good live.
All right. So, Alan – Bill, Brian,
you guys want to chime in? Somebody talk, goddamn it! Somebody fucking talk.
Good song for being the next to last song.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. That summed it up.
All right. Bill nailed it for all three of us.
All right, so let's get to the song that Alan does not like. Let's go.
That's not what he said.
I did not.
We're gonna let you explain it. So anyway, the last song on the album is "I Wish You Were Here." I Wish You Were There, sorry. And it was Kevin Cronin. It's a 4:27 second song. And it's a ballad. Alan.
It seemed just way too sappy. I mean, even for Kevin Cronin, that song just seemed way too sappy for me.
I actually like it. It's a nice, easy listening. It was a nice way to take out, you know, you had some good rockers, you had some hits and stuff. And this was just a nice way to end the album. You know, it just kind of.
It's the equivalent of the Eagles ending a concert with Desperado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall asleep on my way home from a show.
Desperado a cappella, though, is. Man.
Yeah, it is good.
That is hard to beat.
All right, Bill. Bill, what do you think about the song?
Actually, this is probably one of my favorite songs on the record, probably number one or number two. And it's only because it's just really different.
Right.
And it's as much as Don't Let Him Go at the beginning starts off with that, that drum thing.
Right.
This ends the other end of it. It's like you get this thing at the beginning, this crescendo thing at the beginning, and this is the end of it that says, okay, it's over, and it's kind of relaxed. And to Alan's point, it is that kind of that slow, methodical kind of thing. But I just like the words to it, and it's easy to sing along to. And, I like the song. I like the arrangement of it, too. I use the word arrangement in a song review, so you should write that down. Because you will not ever hear that again.
Put that in the show description when you send it to me, Bill.
And And I'm sorry that I laughed out loud, but you know, I just got all my texts. I'm thinking I got a hashtag Billy Limbanger on my phone. I was like, I couldn't help myself. All right, so this song here, I agree with Bill. Now, is it the best? It's not my favorite song on the album, but it's a really damn good song. And I'm like you, it kind of circumvents the whole album. It went from, you know, starting out rocking, we got some ballads, we got this, but, you know, we go back to some 60s sound and stuff, 50s, 60s type music, and then it ends up with this. And it's just kind of take a breather. We're gonna take you out of this album with this song. And, you know, of course, you know, Kevin Cronin writes really good shit. I love his music.
Yep.
And I like our real stuff.
It's like you cleanse your palate.
Gets you back down. It's kind of like, okay, we're just going to smooth on out of here.
Right, and that's a really good analogy. I never really thought about it that way, but it does. Yeah. It kind of like, okay, we're going to, you know, it's good. So, yeah, it's one of those songs, and it actually, it's funny because even though I've, you know, listened to this album a million times back in the day, I hadn't really pulled it out and listened to it just till in the last week, which that happens with a lot of our stuff. You know, you haven't really heard this album for a long time. And this one here, I was like, I kept thinking, man, it's been so long, and I kept listening to it. I'm like, oh man, I really do like that. I like that song, and it was one that didn't hit me. I don't think when I was listening to it when it was popular, I like it more now, I think, than I did back then.
Because you're soft. You're old.
I am.
You're softer. Around the middle.
I'm pudgy. I'm like the doughboy. You know? But yeah, I mean, there again, this thing is the soundtrack of my high school, and a soundtrack of all of our high, except for Alan. He's, you know, he's a little bit, been his junior high.
He's just such, like, a baby.
Yeah, he's just been like baby discovering man. Boners at that time.
He was the one walking up to the
child. Way before middle school, I promise you.
That's back when he was walking up to the chalkboard with a book in front of him.
Yeah.
More than once, buddy. No, I'll take the F.
But anyway, no, and like I said, and it's been, you know, in the 80s movies, and Alan, I will get you a copy. I got the premium version of the movie. I'll give it to you, and then you're gonna cry.
There's a premium version of Last American Virgin.
It's the
version.
No, it's hard
that's
to find.
Wrong,
actually,
a,
no, it's
you don't actually, get them on. You don't get that on Adam and Eve.
No. The movie is actually very hard to find on DVD, and it was one of these.
There are a lot like that. Yeah,
there's a lot of these movies that weren't. They weren't huge hits, but they're great movies.
Yeah.
And I had to find it. It was like a Criterion or one of these. It was expensive to buy because you just can't find them. They're not like, you know, it's like Animal House. There's, you know, 15 fucking versions of it. And you know, the this copy of the this copy of it. But it's probably the best. I was reading some article the other day that said it's the most realistic 80s movie ever made.
Yep.
Because it is. Man, the 80s was tough. And this guy got
these kids these days could not live in the 80s.
Got,
they would get ate up.
These dudes
out,
got.
Man.
I tell you what, though, there's some scenes in that shit. I mean, like when he's reaching for those for those scissors and getting, you know what I'm talking about. His mom's sewing kit and getting those scissors out. It's like, I've been there.
Well,
big burrito.
I think we're probably done with REO's feedback.
Yeah, we've went on to some.
Yeah,
of
we're done.
Let's not stray too far.
But it does have a lot of actually that soundtrack has a lot of great songs in it, and it actually has a lot of like love songs in it too. I've actually got that on my
when I post playlist. My message later this week asking for your favorite movie soundtrack song. You better reply.
Put that actually send it to you.
Yeah, that soundtrack has hits from Blondie, The Cars, The Commodores, Devo, Quincy Jones, Journey, The Police.
Quincy Jones.
Tommy Two-Tone, U2, and REO Speedwagon.
Yes. Sweet. It's fucking
that sounds
awesome.
Like a great soundtrack. I've
got a lot of stuff on it.
All right, well, you guys ready to scoot on out of here?
Please.
Do it. Get us out of here.
It's Brian, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes.
Since Dennis
Thanks for inviting enough, me.
Yeah.
Since Dennis wasn't a good enough host to thank you, I will thank you on his behalf.
I'll get him to thank me later.
All right. Oh. But seriously, folks, check us out on agentsofrock.com. Check out past episodes and our social media. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.